is Daf, is Erev and Daf Mem Hey. We're going to start in the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Beis, second line from the bottom. The Gemara says, actually no, I'm sorry, the last line. Vehecha delo shavas lo. So let's say a person did not start initially in the air of the second set of mechitzos. Let's say you're like, right, the case was before where you were in this ma'ara, you're in this cave, and you were sort of in the airspace of two different tchumen. So then you're in the airspace of both, you know, partitions while it was still daytime before Shabbos. So then you can go in the 2,000 amos of either direction. But let's say if you did not acquire your makom shvisa within those mechitzas before Shabbos, so there's a halacha muvloim that have lost chum. Does that apply? So v'hatanan, behold, we learned the Mishnah. Rabbi Lezer, Omer Lezer says, shtayim yikanesh, shlosha shlo yikanesh. Rabbi Lezer says in the Mishnah, a person who goes outside the chum intentionally, according to the chachamim, even if he goes out one ama, he can't come back. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you go out two amos, you can. The three amos, you cannot. The Gemara says, "My love, Rabbi Lezer l'tame de amar b'hu be'emtzad, is not the reason for the shear of two amos. Isn't it that Rabbi Lezer holds that when it comes to measuring the four amos, so you're in the middle, meaning that the person who goes outside the tchum, you view him as in the middle of four amos square, therefore you only go two amos in either direction. Fa'arba amos yavale rabbanon, and the new four amos that the rabbanon give you when you go out to the tchum, keman demi balandom. It's like they're absorbed in the first tchum. In other words, since you're permitted according to Rabbi Lez to go two amos from where you're standing, and by doing that, let's say within the two amos, you can reach a tchum of 2,000 amos of your original shrisa. So v'ka'amar yikanes, and he says now in the Mishnah that you could enter, right, now that you're within two amos of your 2,000 amos, so he says you can enter. Alma have lost tchumim milsa. So we see Rabbi Lezer does hold of the concept of have lost tchumim, that he does hold of this concept that two tchums could be subsumed in one another. Amale Rabba Barachara Labaye, Umidir Rabbi Eliezer Kamosif Le Lamar. And he says the following. He says, but wait a second. You're raising a question against Rabba from the statement of Rabbi Eliezer. Is that what you're doing? Amale, Ian, yes, I'm asking a question, Rabbi Eliezer. Abaye said back, he said, yes, I heard from our master himself that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, but only if you left for a Dvar Rishus, for a voluntary reason. But if you left for a mitzvah, they agree that the tchumim that have lost tchumim is milsa. So everyone agrees have lost tchumim is a mitzvah, have lost tchumim is a milsa, he is significant, and we hold of it for dvar mitzvah, and therefore, and they only argue when it's a dvar rishus. And since our Mishnah is talking about someone who left for a dvar mitzvah, so then we have to ask, why does Rabbah hold that have lost chumim doesn't work? As we asked the question of Rabbah initially, and Rabbah is saying, but that's Rabbi Lezer's position. And the answer is, they said, no, we're challenging that position because really everyone holds of have lost chumim, even Rabbi Lezer, even the Chachamim, when it comes to Dvar Mitzvah, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So I guess the challenge remains. Okay, so now 10 lines from the top. The Mishnah said, b'chol hayotim lahatzil chozim l'mkomam. If you leave, if you go out, like to save someone, you can return to your place, right? That's what we saw. It's the machlokas where Moshe finds he was leading for Atzala workers. I think Shlom Zalman was strict. But again, this is the question: is it only drabbanan or even deraisas? So the Gemara asked, "Vafilo tuva," and even if you go further than 2,000 amos. Can you go back? It seems right. Vahamart Reisha, but the Reisha, the Mishnah said, Alpayim Amah Vatulo. The Reisha, the Mishnah said that if someone goes outside the Tchum and Rishus HaRabim, by the Rishus of the Chachamim, the permission of the Chachamim, you only have 2,000 amos and not more. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. So he says that Rav said that really they're not allowed to. They're only allowed to go 2,000 amos from where you're standing. And when the Mishnah says Chozim Bimkomam, it means Shechozim Bichlei Zayin Limkomam. Means that even though the war has ended, you're allowed to take with you all of your weapons, and you don't have to leave them in the place that they're standing. In other words, you don't have to say, and we're going to see the reason why in a bit, but you don't have to say, oh, the war's over. You know, these weapons, I'm done with them. Now they're muksa, whatever, or you can't, you know, I can't carry them anymore. So we're saying, no, you can go back for your 2,000 amos. The Gemara asked, though, my kusha. So then, you know, what's this? Why would you think there's a question between the Reisha and the Seifa? Dilma lahatzil shiny. He says maybe that the halacha that you can save with non-Jews is different. There's what? In other words, what's the question to begin with? Maybe the Reish is talking about a regular Birshus Chachamim, some other issue, so a regular mitzvah, where you can go back, you know, where you can go back, I'm sorry, when you can return 2,000 amos. But maybe where we say you can return to your houses, so that's where the non-Jews are attacking you. Okay? So in other words, if you're simply going out to testify, let's say, Birshus Chachamim, you can testify for the new moon, right? Or a midwife. Or if you're saving someone from the river, so all these things, the Chachamim say you have 2,000 amos from where you're notified that the job is done. But you can't go back to your original place if you're more than 2,000 amos. But the same is talking about where you're fighting against non-Jews, and there perhaps there was a greater dispensation that you can go even more than 2,000 amos. Why? Because we're concerned that maybe the enemies will chase after them and they'll catch them. So ela ikasha akasha. So really, if you want to ask the question from the Sefer to the Reisha, so this is the question. Deep not, because we learned the Mishnah. But we showed initially before the Takana, lo hayu zazim misham, the witnesses would not leave the place where based in except to the Edim, but kol hayom kulo, the entire day, because you only have 4 amos. Hiske Rabbi Leo Zakein. She yeshlo heva paim amal kol ruach. Rabbi Gamliel Zalkain was metakin. He made a rule. He made a law that you can go 2,000 amos in any direction. V'lo elu bilvad amru ela filo chachama haba liyaled v'haba latzil min hagayis u min hanahor min hamapos min hadleika harehin kan she ha'iru yeshlo heva paim amal kol ruach. And then Rabbi Gamliel said it's not only someone who testifies to the new moon, but other situations, a midwife who helps someone give birth, or someone is saving someone from a non-Jewish army, or someone has to go. Let's say there's a river that, you know, went over the banks, and it's like it's causing a potential dangerous situation from the city, or there's like an earthquake, or there's like a stones, rubbles, like there's basically what's it called? There's like a collapsed building. So you have to run away. Or there's a fire. So basically you're allowed to go throughout the whole city, and then you have another 2,000 amos. So basically you have 2,000 amos for too low. But wait a second, you don't have more than 2,000 amos. Initially, so it seemed that you have only 2,000 amos, but then it says if you go to save someone, then you have more than 2,000 amos. So Rav Shechozim Koma. So on that, Rav said that you can return. The only way that you can return to your place more than 2,000 amos, that's only if you have weapons. Then you can return to your city when you have them. You don't have to leave them, you know, where you're standing, or leave them, let's say, within 2,000 amos. And the Gemara is going to bring a reason for this, a brisa that gives the reason for this. Kinitanya, like we learn a brisa. But we showed how you manichin klei zayin bebayis ha'sabuch l'choma. Initially, before the Takana. So they were when they the people who returned from war on Shabbos would place their weapons in the house next to the wall of the city outside. So at some point, then the enemies saw this and they chased after them. So the Jews left their weapons outside and they were inside, and the non-Jews chased after them and they took their weapons. And then the enemies chased after them to the house, and the house was very, I guess, where the Jews were was very narrow, and the Jews who were fighting were pushing each other to get to the weapons. Vahargu ze ed ze yosi mashargu. So the house where the weapons was very narrow, so they had to get back their weapons. And they killed each other more. They killed each other. They were so nervous to try to get the weapons to fight the enemies because they left it there. And there was such a rush, there was such a panic that they pushed each other, stampeded each other, and they caused more deaths than the enemies caused. So they said, if you're carrying weapons, so you can bring them into your house when you're done waging war against the non-Jewish enemy. Nachman Yitzchak says, He wants to give another answer between the Reisha and the Seifa. He says, "Kan shenitzchu Yisrael's umos ha'olam, kan shenitzchu umos ha'olam tzatma." He says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that allows them to return 2,000 hours and not more is when the Jews defeated the non-Jews, so they're not concerned the non-Jews are going to chase after them. So you only have 2,000 hours. Kan shenitzchu umos ha'olam tzatma. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where you could return even more than 2,000 avos. That's where the non-Jews, this is a euphemism, where basically the non-Jews defeated the Jews, and there's a concern they're going to chase after them, so if they allow them to return to their city, even if it's very far from them. Amar Bihuda, now we're going to give other halachos relating to the situation of the non-Jews who are fighting with Jews on Shabbos. Amar Bihuda, Marab Nachim Shetzaru, Allah Yeros, Yisrael, Ein Yisrael, Ein Yotzim, Aleim, Bichle Zeinam, Ein Mechalim, Asa Shabbos. This is seemingly a very strange position. The simple understanding, it seems that if non-Jews lay a siege on Jewish cities, Jews cannot fight with them, wage war, and they cannot be mechallel Shabbos. So they can't go out with weapons because they can't be mechallel Shabbos. That's what it seems like. However, some want to understand this as saying that you can't even go out to war even during the week. Why? Because this is a potentially pikuach nefesh situation. That is what they're saying is, so the assumption at this stage of the Gemara is that the non-Jews are only interested in your money. You're not allowed to put your life on line in order to save your money if the non-Jews want to attack you. That's the assumption at this point. It seems like a bit chiddush. Tanya Hachi, we're going to sort of change that view. Tanya Hachi, we learn in a braisa, Nachim Shetzaru, non-Jews who lay siege on Jewish cities, you cannot go out with weapons, and you can't be mechallel Shabbos, you can't violate Shabbos. Medvar Morim, when do we say this applies? Kishabal Iske Mom, that's only if they want money. Now, by the way, the Gosa Shri writes, it was the Orzarua, he says, nowadays, if they come for money, you can wage war. Why? And also, if you could also extinguish a fire, you can also put out a fire nowadays. Even though in the old days, it seems the Mishnah says that you can't put out a fire because if you're only going to lose property, because in both instances, you know, we're concerned that it's not only going to be a monetary loss, it's going to be if the army, if non-Jews come and they want to attack you just for money, presumably they're going to kill. And similarly, if a fire also is coming, you know, you can't contain fire. So even though, you know, in the days of Chazal, perhaps we were more strict. Fires were more strict if non-Jews were coming to attack with money, for money. So nowadays we assume both cases are dinei nefashos. But in any case, the Gemara says, Aval bo aliske nefashos, so the non-Jews are coming to kill the Jews. You can go out to war with weapons, and you can be mechallel Shabbos. If you're a smucha l'svar in a city that's close to the border between Jewish city and non-Jewish city, if you low bow, at least get a fasha, el at least get tevin v'kash. If the non-Jews are only coming to wage war on, they just want straw, they want money. Yotzi Malay Bechle Zedam, you can wage war against them, Khalimalas Shabbos, Kimchal Shabbos, because we're concerned once they get the border city, so then they'll be easier to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Nubim, Amar Rav Nachman, Bavel, Kira Smucha, Lesfardavia. So there's a city in Bavel that you also have a city that's considered like close to the border, that once the non-Jews take the bit, there are a bunch of Jewish cities in Bavel, and there is one sort of on the border between the Jewish and non-Jewish cities, and once the non-Jews take that city, then they'll more easily conquer Jewish cities. V'targuma Nardai, that city was Nardai. Darash Rav Dostai Demin Biri, so Rav Dostai expounded. He lived in a place called Biri. My Dixi, what does it mean when the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Perach of Gil Pasuk Aleph, Vegidil David Leimor, Hine Plisht Nechon B'Ki'ilah, that they told David, say that the Plishtim are waging war in Ki'ilah, Vehem Eshos Tibes HaGrados, and they are taking spoils from the granaries. Tada, Ki'ilah Ir, Hasmucha L'Sfar Haisa, Ki'ilah was a Jewish city that was close to the border. Vehem Loboa El Aliski Tevekashi, they only came because of straw, Dixiv, Vehem Eshos Tibes HaGrados, and they are they are taking spoils from the granary. Shem, David asked Hashem, the Urim Tumim, he said, should I wage war against the Plishtim? Hashem said, yeah, you should smite them, and you will save Ki'ilah. And why is that? Why did he wage war? Even though they were only coming for money, nevertheless, this was what? This was a border town. Ki'ilah was a border town, and therefore, what? And therefore, it was appropriate to wage war against the enemy. The Gemara says, "My coming barley." What was David not sure about? Elay, but Yishayu also, if he was questioning whether it's permitted or not, Haray based on Shmuel Yishmuel Haramati Kaya, the Basin of Shmuel was around then, and he should have asked them, because you only asked Urim V'Tumim questions of Isser V'Heter, halachic issues of, what's prohibited, what's permitted, if you're not sure. This was a war issue. So what are you asking? Ela im matzich lo matzich. No, he was asking not whether it was appropriate to wage war, which might be a dinin nefashah, it's not an iser v'heter. He was asking a question of whether he's going to win or not. They could not dichsiv. Because what does the Pasuk say? That the Hashem said by the Urim Tumim that you will defeat Ki'ilah. So we see that was his question, if he's going to win or not. So now you ask the Urim Tumim questions of Isser V'Heter, what's permitted, what's forbidden. But you could also ask, perhaps tell the future, whether they're going to win at war or not. Next, Mishnah. Misha Yasha Baderech, if someone is sitting in the road in Erev Shabbos close to sunset, and he doesn't know that he's so close to the city within the Tchum. So you're within 2,000 amos of the city, but you don't know. And therefore, you do not intend to be Kodesh Visa, to acquire where you're staying now, to be your center. Va'amad, and you left your place after it got dark, Vara, and you saw, Harehu Sabach Lir, you saw, my gosh, I'm within 2,000 amos of the city. Since your intent was not to be Kodesh Visa in the city, you didn't realize before at the onset of Shabbos that you were within 2,000 hours of the city. Lo yikanes, you're not allowed to enter into the city. Meaning what? That you're not considered like the Bnei Ha'ir that you're allowed that go through the entire city with the 2,000 hours around it. Divrei Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that basically you have 2,000 hours in any direction. And if part of that goes into the city, so you only have up to 2,000 amos. You don't have the whole city. If you remember, Yehuda disagrees, and he says, and even if you didn't know the city was within 2,000 amos, you're still Kodesh Shvisa, and you can walk throughout the city. Or Yehuda Mishmaisa, V'hoya V'nichsa Rabbi Tarfon Lo Miskav. It's a story where Rabbi Tarfon entered. He was near the city, and he didn't know that he was within the Tchum, and therefore he did not intend to be Kona Shvisa inside the city, and afterwards, in this exact situation, so he entered into the city as if he lived in the city. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Rabbi Tarfon, in fact, held like me. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maaser Ritafachay Mahalech Tanya. We have a brisa that says the story. Amar Yehuda Maaser Rabbi Tafachay Mahalech Baderech Vichashchalo Balad Michutz Chutz Lair. Okay, so this is the story of Rabbi Tafa. He was going on the road and it got dark and he's sleeping outside the city. L'shachmitz b'tzil roi bakar. The morning the shepherds found him. Amar Lo, they said to him, Rabbi, Harei Ha'il Fanecha. Behold, the city is in front of you. Kikades, go inside. Nichdas v'yashu beis ha'mesh v'darash kolim kula. He entered into the city and he went to beis ha'mesh and he taught the whole day. Amar Lo, Misham, I have a good proof over there. Shem b'libo ha'isa. Oh, beis ha'mesh, move lo b'sof t'chum ha'ya. That's no proof. Because maybe he thought to acquire Shvisa in the city, and he knew the city was near the place where he was within 2,000 amos. It's not clear from the story that you're quoting that he was not aware the city was within 2,000 amos, or maybe the base measures was in 2,000 amos of where he was at the onset of Shabbos. That's not a good proof. Next, Mishnah. Mishi Yashin Baderach. Let's say someone's sleeping on the road in Erev Shabbos. V'lo yodah shecha shecha. And he realized that it got dark. So you fell asleep Friday afternoon, and you wake up at Shabbos. So yesh lo paim aval kol ruach di Rabbi Yochanan Meduri. So he says, well, you have 2,000 amos, right? You fell asleep at the onset of Shabbos. So wherever you were at the onset of Shabbos, you have 2,000 amos in any direction. V'chom omrim ein lo el arba amos. Wow, the chom say, you're not kona shvisa, but you only have 4 amos in every direction, meaning you have 8 amos. You're in the middle, you're the center, and you have 4 amos in every direction. In other words, according to the Chachamim, a person who's sleeping cannot be Konesh Shvisa in his place. And once you're not Konesh Shvisa, Beit HaShemashos, you can't be Konesh Shvisa throughout Shabbos. In other words, you can only be Konesh Shvisa if you're awake. So if you're sleeping, you're stuck. Rav Lezer Omer, Behu Be'em Tzad. Rav Lezer is actually more strict. He says you have a total of 4 amos, but you're in the middle. He's saying that you basically, you are the center, and then you have basically 2 amos in every direction. So Chachamim say you have 4 amos in every direction. Rav Lezer says you have 2 amos in every direction. Rabbi Yehuda Omer le'eza ruach shiyirtzu yelech. He says that you have 4 amos, but you can decide where those 4 amos are. So you can say 4 to the east, 4 to the west. So in one sense, he's like Rabbi Eliezer, where the total amount of the area of your area is 4 amos, but you don't have to assume that you're in the middle. You can say I'm at the edge. Umar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda admits to Rabbi Eliezer, Shimbira lo, Sheinu yochel achtavo. So if you decided initially to say, you know what, I'm gonna have 2 amos in every direction, so then you can't retract your position. How you shnayim. So let's say there were 2 people outside the tchum on Erev Shabbos Beit HaShemashos. And everyone has their 4 amos. Bixas amos shoshoseh, besoch amos shoshoseh. If, let's say, part of my 4 amos is absorbed into your 4 amos, mevien bochlim b'amsa. So you can, so if there are, two, let's say there are 2, you look at, there are 2 amos, like I my 4, 2 of my 4 amos and 2 of your 4 amos are in the same area, so we can eat together. We're not worried that if we're together, that you're going to walk outside your tchum into my tchum, and I'm going to walk outside my tchum into your tchum. Obviously, that I cannot take my stuff into your area, out of my area, and vice versa. Let's say there were 3 people, 2 outer people, that were 8 amos apart. And there's someone in the middle who is between them. So basically, the person in between has, let's say, 2 amos that are joined with there's two overlapping amos. In other words, let's say you have everyone's 4 amos apart. So the first, the second is 4 amos, the second, the third is 4 amos. So the middle, let's say if you're following Rabbi Eliezer, so everyone has 2 amos that are absorbed in the middle, and the outer ones have a common 2 amos area. Humutar imahem. So he, the middle guy, can eat with the 2 outer guys. Hey mutar imo, and they can eat with him. Ushtam achitzori masur mzemze, but the 2 outer ones can't eat with each other because they are Obviously, not there. They don't have a common area. They don't have a common tchum. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, "Lamaha davar doma." So, what is this? To what is this matter compared? L'shalosh chatzeret apsuchos ulazu. So, let's say you have three courtyards that are opened to each other. So, between that, there is between the first and the second, and the second and the third. Psuchos the rishus harabim, and these three courtyards are also open to Rishus HaRabim, meaning that each courtyard has an opening by itself to Rishus HaRabim, okay, and to each other. She'ervu shtayim im ha'emtzoyos, if the two outer ones made an eruv with the middle one, but they didn't, but there's the middle one made an eruv with the first one, the middle one made an eruv with the first and the third one, the two outer ones. So he muteres imahem. So they can use the common courtyard. The first and the inner one can use it with the two outer ones. The he muteres imah, and the two outer ones can carry with the middle one if they have a joint courtyard. But the two outer ones, so they cannot carry with each other. So this is the halacha, right? So since the tchum of the, so similar here, the tchum of the four outer amos are absorbed with the middle one, so therefore they can carry with, they can, you know, use. They can carry with each other in the area that's permitted to the two of them, but the two outer ones are forbidden with each other. So now the Gemara says the following. So now the Gemara is going to ask Rav Yochai ben Nuri's position. Right? Boy, Rava asks, "My kasava, Rav Yochai ben Nuri. What does Rav Yochai ben Nuri hold?" Right? He says that if you sleep, right, that if you sleep, then you can still be kona shvisa. If you're sleeping at Beit HaShemesh, it's at sunset. So what does he hold? Misbar Kasavar, does he hold Chetzei Hefker Kodem Shvisa, that in a place, let's say objects that are Hefker, that where they are on Shabbos, even though the owners do not intend to acquire Shvisa with it, but that just like hefker, I'm sorry, that just like chefzei hefker. So right, so can they be kona shvisa? That's the question. So let's say something is odorless. So let's say it doesn't belong to anyone. So can that object be carried 2,000 amos in every direction? So is that maybe what he holds? That just like something which is hefker could be moved 2,000 amos in any direction. So to Rabbi Yochai ben Nuri would say that if you're sleeping, you're like chatzei hefker, and you can go and you can acquire shvisa even without intention, just like chatzei hefker. Uvedinhu de liflo bekalim, and Rabbi Yochai ben Nuri and the Chacham should also argue by kalim shel hefker. The Rabbi Yochai ben Nuri would hold that they are kodesh shvisa, and you can carry them 2,000 amos in any direction. Obviously, if there is an eruv, and according to the Chachamim, you cannot. They're not kodesh shvisa, but they follow. But they only. But they basically they acquire shvisa. Essentially, they. But the one who picks them up, the one who picks them up. So, they follow what he does basically. Okay, v'had the kamiflagi. And why does our Mishnah only mention that they argued by Adam, not by Kalim? Lodiacha kochan de Rabbanan, to teach you the strength of the position of the Rabbanan who are strict. Da'afagav ikar lemeimar, that even if you want to say that the Chachamim hold that Chefzei Hefker are not Kodesh Shvisa, nevertheless, they're going to admit that a person who's sleeping is Kodesh Shvisa. Why? Because Chol Neir Kana, Yashinami Kana, that a person who's awake, so he's Kodesh Shvisa. So therefore, if he's sleeping, he's also Kodesh Shvisa. The chefs of the person, this person is someone who can be Kodesh Shvisa. So Kamash Balan, Delo. So therefore, the Mishnah wants to say it's not the case. And even someone who's sleeping, The Chachamim would argue Rav Yochanan and would hold that he's not Konesh Visa. And maybe they argue both in cases where the person's sleeping and also in a case of Chefzei Hefker. Old deal, or maybe not. Right? Kasavar Rav Yochanan ben Nuri ba'alma Chefzei Hefker ain't Konesh Visa. Maybe Rav Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Chefzei Hefker, if there's an ownerless object, it's not Konesh Visa. Right, it's not Konesh Tvisa, and it just depends when someone picks it up. And v'hacha haydu taima hol v'nera kana yashin nami kana. But here it's different. That since a person who's awake is can be Konesh Tvisa, can acquire his residence. So to someone who's sleeping can also acquire his residence. So we have this debate as to whether they argue by Chefzei Hefker or not. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, Tashba, come in here. Let's try to bring a proof. So to resolve this down. Gishamim sheyardu me'erev Yom Tov. Let's say the rain fell in Erev Yom Tov. And the person, let's say, did not collect the rain until the Chag began. So the holiday began. So they're Kodesh Shvisa at that point. And anyone who, let's say, collects the rainwater can only, cannot take them out of their tchum. Even if this guy made an Erev Tchumim. But if rain fell on Yom Tov itself, then Harei and Karagle Koladam. Then whoever collects the rain, so whatever his tchum is, that's what the rain falls tchum is. So Iyamar Bishlama Kasav Yochanan ben Nuri Chefzei Hefker Kodesh Shvisa Hanim Rav Yochanan Hi. So if you want to say that Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Chefzei Hefker Kodesh Shvisa, right? So then this brisa obviously is Rav Yochanan, because what does the brisa hold? That rain that fell out on that rain that fell in Erev Yom Tov, let's say it's collected in a bucket or something, and no one acquired the rain yet. So it's Kodesh Shvisa, so you have 2,000 amos from that center. So that would be Rabbi Yochanan. But if you say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri also holds, that agrees to the Chachamim, that Chefzei Hefker do not acquire Shvisa, so then who's the author of this Braisa? So Yosef Abayi Komar Lo Hashmaita, so Abaye said, and he said this teaching, and normally the Rav Safed Abaye, and Rav Safed Abaye, no, that's not a good proof. Dilma, like Shomer Simuch Liraskin, maybe we're talking about rain that's close to the city. V'anshe Oso Yir Daitani Luye. And the people of that city know that's going to rain, and they want to be Zocha, they want to acquire that rain. Therefore it's Kodesh Shvisa, and therefore that rain is Kodesh Shvisa like the people in the city. So it's not like regular Chefzei Hefker. The reason why that rain is Kodesh Shvisa is because the people of the city know that it's going to rain, and they sort of have in mind that, yeah, we want it. We want that rain. So since someone wants that rain by the onset of Yom Tov, then that becomes the center. So it's not the same as just Stam Chefzei Hefker when nobody knows about it from the beginning. Omar Leh, Abayis is back to Rav Safa, don't say that. That's not a good argument. Did not, because we're in the Mishnah, Bor Shel Yachid, Kiragle Yachid, that the pit of a person, so the water inside of it is considered like that the feet of that person, and if another person takes it, he can only go the distance of the Erev Tchumim, if I own a pit and I have water in the pit and you want to take and you take the water, right? So you can only go take the water as far as my personal tchum. Vishel Osair Kiragli Osair. And also, let's say a pit that belongs to a city, so the halacha is also like the people of the city, meaning that you can take the water in the whole city and 2,000 amos around it. But if one person, made an Erev, even if one person Let's say one person made an Erev Tumim that to the east of the city or to the west of the city, right? You don't follow that person, but it goes by the people of the city in general. And it's 2,000 amos outside the city. That's the area we carry that water if it belongs to the city. Vishal Ole Bavel, and let's say a boar that is ownerless on the way, on the road, that was used for the people from Bavel who, I guess, went on a pilgrimage to Eretz Yisrael, the Shal Shigalim. So that's Kiragli Hamamale. So that follows the people who fill it up first. So whoever fills it, so he's got the 2,000, that's, we go by his 2,000 hours, even if he gives it to someone else. So we see from the Mishnah that Chefsei Hefker are not Kona Shvisa in their place, and that's why the water in the pit of the Oli Bavel follow the people who fill them. So it's not, they're not Kona Shvisa. So that's Abaya's response to Rav Safa. V'tanya, and we learn in Abaya, a boar shell, on the other hand, boar shell Shvatim, let's say a boar of the Shvatim, of the people who go up again from Bavel, we have another price that says that they do have 2,000 amps in every direction. And it's not like the ones who fill them up. So Kashin Adadi. So but now we have a question. We have a stira. In one price, it says that you have this water that's Hefker, right? It's a Borshel Hefker. Then you have 2,000 amos from, it is Kona Shvisa at the onset of Yom Tov or Shabbos. And therefore, you have 2,000 amos from the pit, no matter who fills it. And then you have another brisa, which is the first brisa that said, no, that whoever fills it, whatever Eruv he has, wherever his shvisa is, you go by, you can only carry the water 2,000 amos from that person's area. So how do you reconcile these two brisas? So the brisa, which says that the water in the pit, you have 2,000 amos, and you don't go by the person who fills it up, that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nori. He holds it Chefsei Hefker, are Kona Shvisa. And the Mishnah, which says that it goes by the one who fills it up, that you go by where his center is, well, that's like the Rabbanan, who hold that Chefsei Hefker are not Kona Shvisa. And this is Abaye's response to Rav Safra, that since we have a Machlokes Tanoim in the Halacha of Chefsei Hefker, if it's Kona Shvisa or not, so you guess you have to say that even though the brisa above that says if a rain fell down in Erev Yom Tov, it's not talking about rain that's near the city, but that's following the position of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who holds Chefsei Hefker Kon Shvisa Bimkom. So there is a brisa which holds like that, and therefore, what do we see? The machlokas between the Rabbanan of Yochanan ben Nuri, right, about are you Konesh Shvisa? So the Mishnah only says the debate is if you're sleeping at the onset of Shabbos, are you Kona Shvisa? Yochanan ben Nuri says yes. The Rabbanan say no, and Abaye proves from another brisa that this debate also applies to Chefsei Hefker. Are they Kona Shvisa at the onset of Shabbos? Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says yes, and the Rabbanan say no. Kiasa lekamei de Rabbi Yosef. When Abaye came before Rabbi Yosef, Amar Le, he said to him, "Hachi kamar Rav Safra, v'hachi adre Le." This is what Rav Safra said to me. This is how I respond to him. I have a few more minutes. Class starting in 7 minutes. I have about 5 more minutes. Amar Le. So Rabbi Yosef says back to Abaye, "V'amai lo tema le mikufa." Why didn't you say to Rav Safra that from the brisa itself it's proven that it's not dealing with the rain that's close to the city, that original brisa, where if Safra wanted to say it's talking about the rain that's close to the city. If we're talking about rain that's close to the city, it should have said that you have 2,000 amos in every direction. It should say that you follow what the people of the city. 2,000 amos would indicate that it's not near the city. If it was near the city, then you would have the lashon of kiragli anshi osayir. Okay, now the Gemara wants to clarify the brisa that says that rain falls out on Yom Tov, it's kiragli kolodom. Mar, b'yom tov, rain falls on Yom Tov, it's harehin kiragli kolodom. It depends who's ever filling, I said in a bucket, it probably means the rain that falls in a pit, in a bore, a well. So rain that falls on Yom Tov, let's say in a bore, so that the tchum, how far you can carry that how far you can move the rainwater on Yom Tov depends on the person who fills it. So wherever his center is, that's where you can go 2,000 amos. So meaning that if he then, this guy who fills it, gives it to someone else, that person can only carry the water up until 2,000 amos of the original person who filled it. Vamai, why is that so? Likne shvisa bok yonos. They could have acquired shvisa ben hashmashos when it was in the ocean. Why is that? Because the water apparently the rainwater is from the sea, comes from the sea, and therefore that after according to Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to see Rabbi Eliezer believes that the rainwater comes from the sea, and therefore that after their Kona Shvisa, they left their Tchum, and maybe you should only acquire, maybe you can only move them 4 hours. Now there's this belief that the belief is that they originated in the sea, and then they, I guess, through condensation and other scientific principles, it went up and rain was formed, and then it fell down to the ground. So therefore, at the onset, it was at the onset of Yom Tov or Shabbos, it was out to the Tchum, so maybe you can only carry it 4 amos. So Leiman de lo ki Rabbi Lezer, di Rabbi Lezer, ha'amar, kolam kulo, we may ok yino tushose. Right? So you have to say this price is not like Rabbi Lezer, because Rabbi Lezer holds that the whole world, the seawater basically becomes, right, condenses, and then basically it forms, the rainwater basically comes from the waters of the ocean. The rainwater, right, the water from the ocean evaporates and eventually forms the rain. And so therefore, this brisa cannot be according to Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Yisrael says, Hacha be'avim sheniskashu me'erev Yom Tov. No, maybe we're talking about the clouds already had gathered on Erev Yom Tov. So at that time, they were not Kona Shvisa at Yom Tov, at the onset of Yom Tov in the oceans. And Vidil Mahanach Azi Bahanach Achrininu. But how do you know that? Maybe these clouds went to a different place, and the clouds that are now bringing rain are different, and maybe they were gathered from the ocean itself. These Lusimana Begavahu. Apparently, that there are signs to know. Apparently, you can know scientifically whether the clouds, if it rains, whether they're coming from clouds that were formed on Yom Tov or before Yom Tov. Or perhaps you can say, since we're dealing with a case of Tchumim, which is Drabanan, according to everyone other than Rabbi Akiva, and Vesavik Divrayim Lahakel, and because it's a Safek, Midrabanan, so therefore we can be lenient. Okay.